Excellent.
Thanks.
So I'm Mark, and this is Jim. We're going to talk to you today about distributed agile. Now, I noticed on the program today it said that we were going to give you a distributed agile methodology. Is there anybody in this room that believes I can give you an entire methodology in 15 minutes? Oh, cool. We'll talk later. No. What happened? We went dark. So I'm not going to actually do that. I'm not even going to try to do that because there's no way to do it, and it wouldn't make any difference anyway. So I will talk to you about a couple of things. But first of all, I'll introduce myself, I guess, because we've lost the deck.
We went dark.
We did.
We went dark.
That's all you had to do, huh?
Move the mouse. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm Mark Billings, and I'm a QA manager for AAA NCNU for the Insurance Exchange. That means that I work for the AAA Club for Northern California, Nevada, and Utah, and I work for the Insurance Exchange arm. I'm currently running about a $200 million program quality arm where we're replacing our policy administration system. We're about 3 years into this thing, and we got about 3 years more to go. And I'm running at peak about 12 scrum teams cranking out about 2,000 story points a sprint. So I'm living the dream. And that's about my sole real good qualification to be up here talking to you a little bit about distributed. And what I want to share with you today is some of the lessons I've learned.
Real quick, I'm Jim Mundy. I run Cognizant's Process and Quality Consulting Practice. So we advise our clients on how to implement agile methodologies across their enterprise, how to take a quality management perspective when they do that to achieve the desired outcomes. So, go ahead.
Okay. So I'm going to talk to you about three things today. When I first picked up the assignment, or they asked me to talk about distributed agile, the first thing that jumped in my mind was geographically distributed. But as I thought it through a little bit more, there's lots of different flavors of distributed, and I'll talk to you a little bit about that today. We'll talk a little bit about the challenges associated with the different flavors of distribution and the things that we face that are different from if I had a cohesive team in a single place. And then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about mitigation strategies, and I'm going to just tell you up front, you've heard it all before, maybe not in the same context as Agile. Okay, flavors of distribution. The first and the most obvious that jumps out to me is geographic. We're not co-located. We're not in the same team, on the same floor, in the same room. We are either distributed across the hall or across the floor. We're on a different campus if we work for Microsoft. I hear there's a bunch of them. We could be in different facilities across different states, different countries. On my particular program, I'm in four cities in India, I'm in two cities in the United States, and I have some activity going on in Russia and Lithuania, I believe, is where we've got. So we're distributed everywhere. And then even if I geographically distribute, I can distribute at different levels within how we work. Am I distributed by team? Do I have an entire scrum team with all the necessary capabilities in a single location? Or do I have individual members of those scrum teams geographically distributed? Or do I have different forms and functions? And I tell you what, in my program, I have all of them. I have a requirements team that sits in San Francisco. I have a development organization that sits in Phoenix. I've got components of those teams spread across all of the various inserted geographical locations. We are an in-source, outsource type kind of a process. So I have FTEs. I have an outsourcing partner where we're doing onshore and offshore participation. And then that brings us to the next kind of distribution, organizational. So do we all work for the same company? Do we all work for the same division within the same company? Are our leaders aligned to the goals of the product that we're trying to put out the door? All of these kinds of distribution really impact us. Are we externally? How many external vendors do I have? I have my Cognizant partner here, but who else do I have? I have a couple of others. The person we bought the original software from, I have different service providers. So we have external service providers as well. So this mass mix of distribution requires a little bit more oversight than if we had everybody sitting together in the same garage, working on the same product, all aligned perfectly, trying to meet the same mission objectives. So it's a little scary. So how do I coordinate my effort? Do I use the whiteboard with the lines down it, my task board that we're pulling tasks off for the individual developers? How do I coordinate the effort? Who's working on what? What are the guys in Mumbai working on as opposed to the guys in Phoenix or as opposed to the guys in St. Petersburg or wherever else? How do we keep that coordinated? How do we keep it in sync? How do we maintain alignment? How do I make sure that the participants that I have on my team are working to the same goals that I'm trying to get to for the same reasons that I'm trying to get there? Is my insurance product team got an ulterior motive that might detract from what we're trying to do this sprint? Really bringing the communication together and trying to get an understanding of that and to handle that is part of the challenge. Collaboration. We all know that Agile doesn't work unless we're talking to everybody every day. In a distributed environment, how do you do that? How do you take on the responsibility or take on the task of collaboration when you've got people who speak different languages, who work at different times, who have different masters, pulling them in different directions? How do we ensure that that collaboration takes place on a regular basis? And then, on top of all of this, for us to be successful, for us to be a high productive, highly valued, highly formed, self-organizing team, we have got to develop some kind of team identity. We have got to be jointly accountable. We have got to be all working on the same thing. And how do you develop a team identity when we don't even all work in the same location or for the same company or for the same doing the same things for the same reasons?
So you have to overcome some of the cultural boundaries and some of the work cultures that each of the different organizations have. You have to recognize that early and figure out how you're going to address it.
Okay, so about this time I wanted to run screaming for the door. So how do you mitigate the challenges? I'm going to talk about two C's. I was going to try to throw a third C in here, but I ran out of time. So the first C we're going to talk about is communication. In order for distributed Agile to work the same way localized Agile or a single location Agile works, we've got to be talking. So we have got to come up with techniques that make sure that we're talking. And unfortunately, we can't always allow teams that are so vastly distributed to try to get to that forming, storming, norming type kind of behaviors that you hear the PMs talk about. We need to give them some guidelines. And really what that boils down to is you've got to put in place a minimum level of structure that allows the teams to communicate on a set cadence. We have to define a cadence by which the team will work and to a pace from which they're going to go. For example, we use a five-week scrum sprint. We require certain things be done before the sprint starts. So we require test packages be user stories be reviewed and approved prior to we start. We've got a rule around we develop test packages about validation criteria. We want those in place. We set up handoffs and meetings that we try to overlap so everybody gets to play with. When we have very definitive handoffs for who takes over. I've got a build that's going out today. Guess what? It's 7 p.m. here, but we've got an offshore team that's getting ready to come online. How do we know, or what are the rules that we would use to make sure that that handoff happens? Next, you've got to create an environment where this team is working in the same environment, whether they are or not, a virtual room. How do you do that? Well, Microsoft's Team Foundation Server seems like a really good tool that would do that. There are others you can use, right? So in our shop, because we had it, we use Skype. We use task board tools. We use any number of things. We have web cameras on every person member of the team's desk, and we require them to use those cameras outside the context of the normal meetings we're doing. We're doing anything and everything we can foster capability of technology. Capability to get everybody to talk, and technology is the tool that we're using to try to do that. And then the last piece seems counterintuitive. If we're all collectively working towards the same good, but you have to have clearly defined roles and responsibilities. Every member of the team needs to know exactly what their primary role is and isn't so that they can execute to it on a regular basis and feel comfort. Now, we do expect everybody to step out of that role once in a while, but you really do have to have some clear definition around what you are doing and essentially what you're responsible for, particularly across the team boundaries. A team in India versus a team in Russia versus a team here, or members of both sets of teams.
The other thing is around communication, there
maybe some standard, consistent understandings of the words you use. Words, again, when you're combining multiple entities from multiple parts of the world, words may mean different things at the outset. So make sure that we're all stating the same things, and the implied meaning behind that is what will be accomplished.
Okay. Any questions so far?
Can you say some more about the roles and responsibilities?
So roles and responsibilities. And without getting too, as a developer, what do I do? What do I own? What am I responsible for? As a tester, what do I do? What do I own? What am I responsible for? As a test analyst, because we've kind of broken up the role between test execution and test analyst, what do I do? Who do I interact with? How often do I do that? Just as a guideline, test automation. In my shop, test automation is a distinct specialty because it's part of our definition of done, right? So identifying these roles that folks can play, and we're not trying to build silos necessarily, but we're trying to build a comfort level. You're playing a role within a team, and it's a collective synergy of those roles that help us get the product out the door. Okay? The next piece is, even on top of communication, you've got to build a culture. Now, this is all soft, guys. This is not any of it technology related. But you have got to create and establish a culture of joint accountability. We all have to have each other's backs. You know, on day five of week five of the sprint, when we're supposed to be getting ready for the product demo in an hour and a half from now, and we aren't quite done, it's everybody's job to try to come together and to do everything we possibly can to drive value for our product owner, to drive value for our end users, right? To establish that culture, we've had to come up with a value system, and we want to build a value system that's unique to our team, wherein we have behaviors that we want to foster. We want people to have a code of behavior, a code of ethics that everybody follows, and each individual can call out individuals who aren't living that dream, right? To self-actualize it, and it's soft stuff, guys. We want to work, so I'll give you some of the rules that we use. We want to work with the end goal in sight. We want to have everybody's back, right? That's a behavior. I've got your back. If something goes south, I got your back. We want to confirm the handoff, particularly when we're working across team boundaries. It's not enough to fire off that email and say, hey, I told that guy. You have to really foster the behavior where I fire the email, or I pick up the phone, or I Skype the guy, or we video conference, or whatever tool or technique that I've got to utilize to confirm that the message has been delivered, that the responsibility has been accepted, and the task is underway. These are behaviors that if the teams do not materialize on their own, we have to kind of push a little bit to try to get the folks to do this. But the goals, the trying to build this set of behaviors is one of the things. And I just noticed something that is bottom. See that last bullet there? That was the last bullet of the previous slide. About 11 o'clock this morning, I changed it. I don't think we got it out here. But the last bullet I want to talk about is we want to encourage innovation. We're going to put together a set of guidelines, right? We're going to try to frame the process flows that we're going to work. We're going to try to establish some clear roles and responsibilities just as a loose framework to get everybody kind of walking down the same direction. But we want to encourage innovation because when that stuff isn't working, we don't want to have to go through a process reinvestment to figure it out. We want somebody to call it out in a team meeting. We have a discussion. We talk about it. We foster the change as quickly as we can. Again, moving as quickly as we can through the collaborative cycle to make sure that if we're doing something that is not adding value, that we are changing that behavior and moving towards something that does more.
Well, that ties back to Chad's previous presentation around the agile economics as well.
So any questions about culture? Again, guys, really soft. Go ahead.
Well, no, it's a little hard to do the interactive Q&A, right, in the lightning talk.
Okay, sorry. And then that's all I got. In 15 minutes, that's all I came with, all right? So I just want to tell you, we talk about this distribution doesn't just mean geography. There are challenges you've got to overcome, and they're magnified over what you would face if you were using a localized tomb. And then communication and culture can help mitigate those.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.